We've been in a series now for a number of weeks here talking about the GO. I've called this Let's Go. I've talked about the GO initiative as we've been talking and fleshing out this GO, the four aspects of the GO that God has given us as a church. Is to go after God. That speaks of our passion, that we are to go after God. To go for Christ, that speaks of representation. We go for Christ. We represent Christ in our world. And we spent several weeks talking about that. And now we are on the third week of the third part of that go, which is to go through the Spirit. So we go after God. That's our passion. We go for Christ. That's representation in the kingdom and authority and dominion. And we go through the Spirit of God. That's our empowerment. And we've been talking about empowerment expectations. The fourth area that we'll get to is the area of then we go to others. We go to our world. And we'll talk about that as that is our mission and that is our purpose. But tonight we're back in Go Through the Spirit, and we're talking about empowerment expectations. And on our journey to this part, we have looked at the fruit of the Spirit. We talked about the gifts of the Spirit. And we talked about the offices or leading of the Spirit. We hit those briefly and talked about that's the expectations. And then we begin to break that down. And last week, we talked about three areas of the empowerment of the Spirit that we should expect as Spirit-filled believers. And that is, there's the promise of receiving, that we will be led by the Spirit to speak truth in darkness, and we will be witnesses of Christ and the new life. Luke chapter 24, verse number 44 says, then Jesus said, Luke 24, verse 44, then Jesus said to them, these are the words which I spoke to you while I was still with you, that all things must be fulfilled which were written in the law of Moses and the prophets and the Psalms concerning me. And he opened their understanding that they might comprehend the scriptures. And then he said to them, thus it is written, and thus it was necessary for the Christ to suffer and to rise from the dead the third day, and that repentance and remission of sins should be preached in his name to all nations, beginning at Jerusalem. And you are witnesses of this, of these things. Verse 49, behold, I send the promise of my Father upon you, but tarry in the city of Jerusalem until you are endued with power from on high. Tarry in Jerusalem, he tells them. This was prior to the Acts chapter 2 outpouring. Go to Jerusalem. Wait there until you are endued. The word endued, I've told you this each week, tried to remind you of this, means to be clothed with. It's as if they are going to now, not only is the Spirit going to come in and be in them and fill them, but they will be clothed with like a coat, like they will be covered with. You will be clothed with power. So when the Spirit comes in and begins to move, and he's always at work, the Spirit is at work. You can't be saved without the Holy Spirit drawing you to salvation. So the Spirit is always at work, but he goes even deeper and he fills us. And we've talked about that. I won't recap all that. You'll have to catch that up if you need to. And he fills us and then he empowers us. And we are clothed with his power and we walk in that power. And so tonight we're going to carry on a little bit farther because we're going to move into seeing what the Spirit will do in our lives. The expectations of his empowerment. Okay, so let's just jump into this. And for those of you, you may not notice this, and I haven't really mentioned this, but what I have been doing is week by week, we started Luke chapter 24 every week. Week 2, we are walking down. We talked in John 7, and then we went to John 16, and then we went to Acts chapter number 1. Tonight, we're going to look in Acts 3, then we're going to go to Acts 11, then we're going to Acts 13, then we're going to move on into Romans 12. And there is a progression that we are on because we are just walking down and seeing the expectations of the empowerment of the Spirit of God. And we're growing, we're learning what to expect about being Spirit-filled believers. Okay? So here's where we're going to jump into this tonight, and we'll end when we end, when our time is up, and then we'll pick back up next week. But now turn with me, if you would, to Acts chapter number 3. Acts chapter number 3, And this is where we kick off tonight. It's all about being empowered by the Spirit. In Acts chapter number 3, we have an encounter. And here's the empowerment expectation that we're going to talk about. The expectation of empowerment the Spirit brings is this: miracle and healing, supernatural power. That is a biblical expectation of the outpouring of the Spirit. It's not a man-made expectation. It's a biblical expectation. We're talking about the empowerment expectation. What does the Spirit bring to our lives when He fills us, when He comes upon us? Not only are we promised to receive, not only are we given a direction to speak in darkness that He leads and guides us, but we are to expect Him to begin to work in miracles, the supernatural, and in healing. That is a biblical expectation. See, Pentecostal churches and Spirit-filled churches, charismatic Spirit-filled churches, We for too many, they have backed away from these expectations. This is no time to back away from the expectations of empowerment of the Spirit. It is time to press in to these expectations. It's not time to pull back. It's time to press in. When you see the darkness increasing, there needs to be more power. And so we need to move forward in this expectation. And so we're just going to look at this. Acts chapter 3, verse number 1. Most of you probably know the story. Peter and John went up together, verse 1, to the temple at the hour of prayer. It was about the ninth hour. A certain man, lame from his mother's womb, was carried, whom they laid daily at the gate of the temple, which is called Beautiful. And he was put there to ask alms from those who entered the temple. Who, when he saw Peter and John about to go in, he asked them for alms. He's begging for some money from them. That's what he said there to do. That's how he's making his living. That's how he's going to get by. And verse 4, and fixing his eyes on him with John, Peter said, "Look at us." This is after Pentecost, after the Holy Spirit has come upon them, and Peter and John are going to prayer. They see the lame man. He asked them for money, and Peter looked at him and said, "Look at us." So he gave them his attention because he expected to receive some money from them. Okay, he says something from them, what he was asking. Then Peter said, "Silver and gold I do not have, but what I do have, I give you in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth. Rise up and walk." And he took him by the right hand and lifted him up. And immediately his feet and ankle bones received strength. So he, leaping up, stood and walked and entered the temple with them, walking, leaping, and praising God. Then they knew, and all the people saw him walking and praising God. They knew he was the man that sat there for all of those years. They were filled with wonder and amazement at what had happened to him. This is an expectation. Jesus told them, "You wait in Jerusalem until you are endued with power from on high." Acts 2, they were filled. Later in Acts 2, Peter stands up and preaches the gospel, and thousands come to the Lord. Acts 3, on their way to prayer, they begin to see the fulfillment of the empowerment. And they see the fulfillment of empowerment is now resulting in the supernatural, in the miraculous, in the healing power that the Spirit can bring. And church, we should have the same expectations. Mark chapter 16, Jesus told them, "Go. You go in my name," he tells them. That's the commission Mark gives us. "In my name, you're going to cast out devils. In my name, you'll lay hands upon the sick and they will recover." In my name. That, he doesn't say it every time, but that's the understanding of Scripture. "In my name, if you drink any deadly thing, it will not harm you. Take up serpents. In my name, you'll speak with new tongues." And the Bible says they left there, they went out, and then they received, and signs and wonders followed them. This should be our expectation. We should expect the miraculous. If we are Spirit-filled and if it's the Spirit of God that is enabling and empowering us, then we should have a miraculous, healing, supernatural expectation. Come on now. It's biblical. You might be sitting there saying, well, we don't see it. But it's biblical. So if we don't see it, then there's something that is keeping us from this biblical experience. And so we have to press into this. The scripture is full. There's gifts of healings that the Holy Spirit's going to bring. Gifts of healings. There's gifts of miracles that the Holy Spirit's going to bring. The scripture is full of it. The Bible says in James, lay hands upon the sick. Call for the elders of the church. Let them anoint them with oil. Let them pray for the sick and they will recover. He tells them, lay hands upon the sick and they will recover. Church, we should have some miracle, healing, supernatural expectations. These are empowerments of the Holy Spirit. Amen. That should be what is driving us. Okay? That should be leading us. That should be guiding us. As we go, we should expect. We when I go to hospitals and pray, I go in faith. I go expecting. It's God's work. He just tells me to have faith. And my expectation is the same God who answered in the Old Testament, who answered in the New Testament, who still was healing in the epistles, and as the New Testament ends, is still in the healing business today. People say all of that ceased. They have no documentation biblically ever where it ceases. Because it doesn't cease, it continues. It is the working of the Holy Spirit. And church, what does cease is our expectations of His empowerment in our life. When we quit believing, then we quench what He desires to do. Come on now, because the Word said, James writes, and James says, because if you ask and you doubt, he said, you might as well not even ask. Now, I didn't say that. James said that. I probably would have stated it a little more diplomatically. Not James. Under the anointing of the Holy Spirit, he said, hey, if you pray and you doubt, you might as well not even. You're a double-minded person. Unstable in all of your ways. That's what he said, right? And so possibly our expectations have lowered because of our experiences rather than our expectations remaining biblical in the empowerment of the Spirit. Are y'all with me today? Okay? Tonight, we need to expect again the miraculous. They're all throughout the scripture. Okay, let's move forward because we're gonna kind of press through and we'll kind of sum it up as we have time here. The next thing I want to tell you about the empowerment of expectations, go to Acts chapter 11 and verse number 27. Here's an expectation we need in our world today as well. Not only do we need the expectation of the miraculous, of healing, and of the supernatural, but we need this expectation. Acts chapter 11, verse 27. The church was gathered together. And verse 27 says, it's the church at Antioch. And in these days, prophets came from Jerusalem to Antioch. How many know that? That is a Spirit-empowered gift. The gift of the prophet. It's not just the gift of prophecy. It's now what the word, what we taught on that already about prophets. He gained some to be prophets. That's where we are looking at. The prophets came from Jerusalem to Antioch. And then one of them named Agabus stood up, showed by the Spirit that there was going to be a great famine throughout all the world, which happened in the days of Claudius Caesar. Then the disciples, each according to his ability, determined to send relief to the brethren dwelling in Judea. This they also did and sent it to the elders by the hands of Barnabas and Saul. Let me tell you what an expectation of the empowerment of the Spirit should be about in the church is that is the Spirit wants to move in lives to relieve needs. The relief of needs, prophetically, to lead the church to be proactive, not just reactive. Prophets came. Agabus stands up and said, there is a famine coming. And our church family in Judea is going to fall into famine. And so they determined a plan was to gather relief and send it before it had occurred. They were already preparing. Come on now. I want to tell you, this is what hit me in that. What about those that are in great need today? What if we spent time in the expectation of the Spirit, in the empowerment of the Spirit, praying and listening and allowing Him to speak to us so that we could be proactive and not just reactive? Amen? That we would allow Him to speak to us about people that are falling into need, people that are in need, and people that are going to be in need. I believe that if the church would get the expectation of the empowerment of the Spirit again, that there would be some situations that we would be proactive about, that wouldn't catch us by surprise, but we would have an answer for it already ready. Amen. That's biblical. Daniel saw ahead. Joseph prepared ahead. God's the same. How many believe God's the same? How many believe He's the same yesterday, today, and forever? How many believe the same God that was able to tell Noah it was going to rain when it had never rained? Was able to tell Abraham to leave his home and go to a land that was going to be a land that would flow with milk and honey. The same God that would be able to tell a dream to Daniel in captivity that no one else could interpret and interpret that dream. The same God that would be able to tell Elijah to say there it was not going to rain for 3.5 years and then it would rain when God said that it would. The same God that would be able to give a word to Joseph and say, hey, there's coming a famine. There's coming 7 years of plenty, 7 years of leanness. You need to prepare the granary. And by doing that, it wasn't just to save Egypt. It was to save God's people because they were going to need to come in. The same God that did that is the same God that spoke through Agabus in Acts chapter number 11. And the church was able to relieve needs. And He is the same God that will do the same thing in us today if we will strive and have expectations of empowerment in the Spirit. This is much about much more than just speaking in tongues. Amen. The Spirit of being filled with the Spirit is much more than just having a heavenly prayer language. But that's what we've reduced the Spirit to. Oh, Pastor, I'm not diminishing that. I thank God. Sometimes I want to say, like Paul said, I thank God I speak in tongues more than y'all. But that I'm not going to reduce the power of the Spirit down to just that one aspect. He wants to do so much through us. And I want to tell you, our communities are in need. Our country is in need. Our world is in need. And they need a church. We need to be like the sons of Issachar. Do you know what the word says? The sons of Issachar in 1 Chronicles 12 and 32. It said they had an understanding of the times. And they knew things that were going to come. Come on now. I want to tell you, church, if we're going to claim to be Spirit-filled, He ought to be speaking to us about some forward things. Our expectations have lowered. There are people in need around us. And here's what I wrote down. What about those in great need today? Here's what I wrote down. Have we prayed and asked the Spirit for guidance? Or are we just simply arguing about our political leanings? Every crisis that comes up, We spend more time arguing about our political leanings in this crisis when we should have been, as a church prior to, already praying and asking the Spirit of God for direction and guidance. And then when things happen, we really need to pray and ask the Spirit for guidance, because He can give us creative ways to make a difference. That's an expectation that we should have, being Spirit-filled. That's an empowerment expectation. If we're going to go, if we're going to have an impact in this go, if we're going to go after God and we're going to go through for Christ, we're going to have to go through the Spirit, and we need to have some expectations. We need to ask God for some creative solutions. Because what good does it do to just lend our voice to the arguments? Amen. You know what your world doesn't need? Just one more voice to weigh in on the argument. They need a voice that'll speak some clarity from the Spirit of God. Amen. And maybe, everybody take a big deep breath. Maybe sometimes it would do us good to keep our mouths shut till we have a word from the Lord by the Spirit to speak. Amen. See, the right spirit gets on me. Maybe I would have said what James said. Amen. We need some expectations. Where are our expectations of the Spirit? He's powerful. Let's look at another one. Okay, and I'm over the time. Just hang with me. Acts 13, verse 1. Says, now in the church that was at Antioch, there were certain prophets and teachers: Barnabas, Simeon, who was called Niger, Lucius of Cyrene, Manaen, who had been brought up with Herod the Tetrarch, and Saul, who we know as Paul. As they ministered to the Lord and fasted, the Holy Spirit said, for all those people that say, well, I don't hear God speak to me. Well, you're not listening to the power of the Holy Spirit, because He still talks to us today. And he says, now, separate me, Barnabas. He said, separate to me Barnabas and Saul for the work to which I have called them. And then, having fasted and prayed and laid hands on them, they sent them away. Listen. An expectation of empowerment of the Spirit is that by the Spirit we would commission and send. We would confirm and affirm the calling of God on a brother and sister's life. Amen. That's what the church body, empowered by the Spirit, is to do. We confirm a calling of God. We affirm the Spirit is moving upon them. We commission to go into labor into the world. And we send forth by the power of the Spirit, through the Spirit. If we are a Spirit-filled church, these things should be happening. Amen. The Holy Spirit, they were praying and the Holy Spirit said to them, hey, separate Barnabas and Saul. I've got a work for them to do. And the church separated them. Then they gathered around and prayed for them and sent them on their journey. Amen. Let me help you here. Let me share this with you. There needs to be spiritual recognition and affirmation. There is a lack of discernment, a lack of affirmation, and a lack of connection. And it is allowing many to leave faith. Because we are not affirming, we are not discerning, and we are not confirming and commissioning. We're not connecting in the Spirit, and therefore many are saying, well, I'm not connected, I don't feel this, and they're walking away from their faith. And we blame it on everything else, when a lot of times we need to examine our own selves and say, if we are spiritual, if we are Spirit-filled, if we are praying, then we should be affirming and connecting by the power of the Spirit. If we're walking through the Spirit, He's going to connect us. Amen. That's why. Otherwise, there's no reason for a church to gather. If we don't gather to affirm and to connect and to confirm the word, to receive the word, to worship together, to come together in the power of unity, and to have that bond that makes us strong, and it is the Spirit that wraps us in that bond. If we don't come together to do that, we're just another social gathering in our world. And we can come in and get good self-help tips and how to go out and do your thing on your own daily basis. And there's a time and a place for that. But I want to tell you, when we come into the house of the Lord as a body of believers, we need to come full of the Spirit, empowered by the Spirit, to connect in the Spirit, to confirm that in one another. Here's the problem. If we're not walking in the Spirit, we're all about the lust of our own flesh. But if we come through the power of the Spirit, we will connect together and we will confirm things in one another. That's what it means when people say, boy, it was so good to be there today. I felt God moved. You know why? Because God moved, because the Spirit was here, but also because there were brothers and sisters that were connected in the Spirit and allowed that bond to be experienced. So we need some expectations again. There needs to be an expectation of the supernatural, of miracle healing power. There needs to be an expectation of the prophetic, to be proactive and not reactive. That the relieving of needs in the Spirit's hand, He can prepare us to be ready to respond. And then there needs to be that confirmation and that affirming and that connection and that discernment that is alive in us. And we'll probably pick this up next week. But then you go in to the aspects of the church. Romans 12, 1 Corinthians 12 through 14, Ephesians chapter 4. The actions of the church empowered by the Spirit are to exhort, to equip, and to experience. I hope you'll allow this to stir you up a little bit. Because when we talk about a revival of the Spirit, this is what we're talking about. The emotional times are great. And they feel good and they empower us and they help us on the journey. And they give us a boldness that we don't have without that. And they're wonderful. We don't ever want to move away from that. But don't minimize the moving of the Spirit to an emotional outburst. Understand, He is strategically empowering us. Amen. And He wants to connect us so that we can affirm and confirm in one another what God is doing. And He wants the miraculous, the supernatural, the healing. He wants to speak to us about needs before they even come up so that we're prepared. Amen. How many of you mothers have ever had the Lord prepare you for something that was coming in your kids' lives? I know my wife. I have too, as a father, but I know my wife. My wife would sense things about our kids. And then she's a really good detective. She missed her calling in life, I believe. I think she should have been a detective. I'm not. I'm the bumbling Barney Fife. We would go on detective missions to see what my son was up to. And, you know, I'm the one hitting the light with my knee and it's popping on, or parking under the light where he can see us. And she's the stealthy one. The Lord would warn. Friends would come around and the Lord would warn. Come on, what are you saying, Pastor? I'm saying if the church is functioning in the power of the Spirit, we could see by His power things happening, and we could cut them off at the pass. We could get ahead of it. Amen. How many want some expectations of the empowerment of the Spirit? Stand to your feet with me. We're going to keep pressing on. But I want you to catch this. This is why it is so important that we are not just full gospel. That's very important. Everything in that word, we better be preaching and teaching. But it's also important that we are a Spirit-filled body of believers. I believe that's vital. nowhere in there to say we're supposed to be crazy and act like goofballs. The world might think we're crazy, but that's not a license to just go out and... I don't want to go too far there. Y'all know what I'm talking about, though. I've known some people that they think because they're spirit-filled, it gives them a license to just be weird. It's not a license to be weird. Yeah, right. Some of us are weird anyway. Yeah, you know, that's just the way it is. But we are to be spiritual. And we are to move. And it's not always going to look like... The world's not always going to accept us. But we should always impact them. Amen. And we definitely should have an impact with one another. Begin to expect the Holy Spirit of God to empower us. Amen. Bow your heads with me.